For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, man.
Oh, we rolling? What's up, dude?
Yeah, we're rolling. Did you, I assume you watched college football all weekend.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
No, I actually missed it. What happened? Did my team play? Did
the raise your hand if your team's still undefeated. Woo! Mm-hmm. Oh, your hand's not up. Oh,
well, I don't know. I didn't see my team play. What happened with the Huskies? Did they have a game?
You didn't miss much. Yeah. They got attacked by grizzly bears and it was gruesome.
Bro, WTF, man. Like, I need some loaf of positivity this morning, dude. You got to pick me up off the pavement.
I don't know. I was celebrating, you know, our win pretty hard. So I don't quite remember the details of that shootout between the Grizz and the Huskies. It was a 13-7. But I mean, I believe it's 102 years since the Grizz beat you guys. I mean, it's a couple years, man.
Yep.
That one's got to sting.
Yeah, man. 20-point favorites.
20?
To a D school, to a D2 school, or whatever they're calling it now.
What, show a little respect to the FBS.
Or whatever it is.
FCS. FBS, right?
Are you kidding me? I'm ready to go lay down in Red Square and just, like, I don't know, let the pigeons have me. I don't know what's going
on. I don't know, but did you – and look, you know how much I hate the guys with golden helmets, but did you see that Notre Dame and Florida State game?
That was pretty sweet.
And the storyline with the kid, Mackenzie Milton, I believe his name is?
Yep.
So for those that don't – our listeners that don't know, a kid that shattered his leg – to the point where so much nerve damage, the doctor's like, yo, he's probably – his career is over, you know. And but if he does ever happen to play, then I'm coming to the game. And so the other quarterback came out for a play. I don't know if his helmet came off or whatever, but this kid goes in, hands the ball off, they get a first down. Next one, he throws a corner route, just strike, and they're like, hey, you know what, stay out there. And from down 18-0 in the fourth quarter, he brings them all the way back to go to overtime, and unfortunately lost in overtime. But you're gonna talk about a miracle, man. This kid, they said he almost lost his leg.
Yeah,
and dude,
it's incredible
for him to come back. You know, I'm ready for the Disney movie.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, dude. Made for Hollywood, 100%. Yeah.
Try to get me in there as a you know, one of the actor in the back.
And look, hey, no matter whether your team won or lost to it school, college football is back and the atmosphere is awesome, and it was just really cool to see, like, stadiums jumping around again and people having fun, and it was awesome. It was a good weekend, lots of fun. Oh,
insane. Absolutely insane.
All right, let's hit the theme music and start the Seahawks show.
I'm gonna need a little more energy out of you.
All right.
Get this crowd going now. Come on, get him up, get him up, get him up.
Hawks on three. 1, 2, 3.
Oh. Lofa Tatupu is up in the mix.
Go Hawks.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Takes the snap. He's going to throw down the middle. What a catch.
It's intercepted by Lofa Tatupu.
Holy catfish.
Hey, that's great football now.
It's going to work now. Let's keep playing.
Who's got my back? I got your back.
That's Lofa.
My player.
Trouble plant. Thunder. All one. Ready. Quick.
Russell looking.
Go Hawks.
Russell scrambling.
Go Hawks.
Hump fake.
Go Hawks.
Still looking. Now he spins out.
We got a fly, baby.
45-40. Down the far sideline. He's still moving. He's going to go.
Yes. Wow.
20. 10. They do it again.
Touchdown.
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 Seahawks.
Seahawks. Seahawks.
It's the Seahawks podcast.
on the Blue Sports Network. You want energy? How's that for you, Bub?
Damn right, kid.
If you got emails to send the show, you can do that anytime. SeahawksPod@gmail.com. That's SeahawksPod@gmail.com. Follow us on all social media. Believe in Seahawks, B-L-E-A-V in Seahawks. Comment and subscribe or follow the podcast wherever there's podcasts, whatever. You guys know what to do. Mm-hmm. On today's episode, it's game week one of the regular season. Preseason is officially behind us. We will get to all of the latest roster moves with the Seahawks. There's been a bunch of them. And then also, Lawrence Owen from Believe in Colts right here on the Believe Sports Network will be joining the show to talk about the matchup between the Seahawks and the Colts. But first,
I sent a read.
It's that time of year again, and all of the eyes are now turning to football as the teams are back on the gridiron to start football season. And as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for pro and college football action this season. Now, you guys, I'm about to go over a lot of things that they got going on at betonline.ag, and if you don't take advantage of them, you're crazy. All right, so they have the online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest, $500,000 contest. Okay. Then they also have the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest pool, which is open now. So that's two things they got going on over there. And then if you use our promo code, you get go ahead. Tell them the promo code.
Believe, B-L-E-A-V.
If you use the promo code when you're signing up right now, you get a 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It used to be like 50%. Those days are over. It's now a 100% welcome bonus. And then also, if you thought that was it, you're wrong, Lofa. There's more.
No, tell me.
There is also an opening day super promo. If you make a bet on the Thursday game that's coming up this week between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys and you lose the bet, it gets refunded up to $25. So basically, head over to betonline.ag, throw $25 down on the game, and if you win, congratulations to you. And if you lose, it didn't cost you anything. So what are you waiting for? Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code BELIEVE and get in on all of the action. All right, Lofa. Seahawks have been making a lot of moves, and it's fast and furious, and it's hard to keep up with, but let's try. Yeah. Dwayne Brown? He's back in practice, baby. He's back. He tweeted the arm flexing emoji and said year 14, and the internet lost its mind. Everybody was like, all right, sweet, he's back. Can you kind of explain this, though, a little bit, or have you looked into it? Because it's not an extension, but they're reworking it a little bit, and both sides are happy, and nevertheless, he's back at practice.
So, yeah, I don't have the details, but the last thing you said, both sides are happy, then – that means we're good, and it's good to see the big guy back in there. I know Russell is excited about this because, you know, as we discussed all offseason, he was not excited about getting hit.
No, he's the happiest guy in the world about this.
Yes. So this is great news. It's a great day to be a Hawk.
Yeah, it is really good news. And, you know, they're not going to talk about an extension right now. I mean, Pete Carroll, even in his press conference, almost got a little testy, just being like, all right, enough is enough. He's in practice. We're going to figure out the contractual stuff later. They're just sort of all that I've read is like they're reworking his current deal. And nevertheless, everybody's happy. But in terms of like an extension and locking him up long term, I guess they'll just wait till after the season's over to figure that out or make decisions.
I think it's, you know, like I said, I think it was a pod or two ago when we were worried about it. It's he's of the age where it's tough to, you know, really forecast how many more years he has of really, you know, high level ball that we've seen out of him since he's been here. Just come to an agreement, give him a couple little extra right now up front so that he can just go into this season as not the highest paid, but amongst what, you know, what he's worth. And so I think we get that settled and we're good, right?
Yeah, and Pete also talked about how both sides were talking the whole time that it never got, you know, too sticky or anything. And also, like, he was kind of happy that Dwayne, he kind of mentioned like a bit of the Walter Jones treatment from back in the day, like where he's like, hey, Dwayne didn't have to play in the preseason. That's good for everybody. He's going to be fresh. And so that's a good thing.
You know, it's just good to see in his wisdom and all the years of coaching, Pete's still growing, you know, as a coach and realizing that we don't need preseason Pete. All right.
Well, we're going to find out if that's true or not, because nobody played this preseason and we got a game coming up.
Well, I mean, we got an extra game too. It's just a long season. And I'm just saying, you know, he's played 14 years, not because he's got lucky. The guy's a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's going to be fine. It's just like Walt, like I told you, Walter didn't need any preseason.
Yeah.
Walter literally could have hopped off the couch, just like Beast Mode did a couple years ago, walked right into the playoffs and carried people on his back on his way to a touchdown. So it's just, you know, he's a gamer.
Well, speaking of guys that didn't play in the preseason or whatever, Quandre Diggs. We were getting anxious about his contract and his sort of holding in or holding out or not wanting to practice, wanting a new contract, whatever. But he's back at practice. So what's up? Because I didn't hear about them reworking his deal or anything. So, like, what's up? Question mark.
Did we get the same? You know, both sides are happy because I haven't heard anything to that tune.
I mean, honestly, all I read this morning was like he's back at practice. So I guess they're all happy and everything's all good. And maybe he was just dipping his toe in a little bit or something.
I have no idea. I need more details about this, but until I see a smile on his face at the podium, you know, I'm not going to believe that he is happy without a new contract. Because remember, he said he brought this up twice and then went into the camp with holding in as the new term. And so we knew very well from mini camps that he wanted a new deal. He wanted, extension. So the fact that it hasn't happened, I don't know. I'm pumped to see him back, but I just don't know how it's going to go. Like, I wonder, are guys going to take it to the level of like, okay, like Walter Jones, say this is, you know, he was playing right now, like a guaranteed Hall of Famer. Are they going to take it to like, hey, you know what? I'm not practicing all year. I'll do some conditioning sprints on the side and I'll see you on Sunday. Like, you're going to play me. You're going to play me. So because he's there, you're not facing the fine. Maybe, I mean, if they really want to, you know, be pricks about it, they might go conduct detrimental, right? And then start slapping you with fines. But they're still going to play you on Sunday. You're still going to play Dwayne if he sits out of practice. You're still going to play Quandre if he sits out of practice. So I wonder where this new holding in is going to go.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, just reading directly from Seahawks.com about this Quandre Diggs thing, it says Carroll also confirmed, so they're talking about Pete's press conference, it says Carroll also confirmed that safety Quandre Diggs was back and on track to play Sunday after sitting out practices last week while, as he put it, tending to, and then in quotes, so this is how Pete put what Quandre was doing, Quandre needed to tend to a couple of things, had to get cleared up for himself business-wise. So I don't know, but he's back at practice and
maybe he's made some new investments. Good for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Another roster. Well,
the only thing I could read into that is that maybe he went and got the Lloyd's of London, you know, insurance. So whether it's loss of value if he gets hurt or even career-ending injury, so a little protection to give him peace of mind to go out and do what he does. And
how does that work? Did you ever do that?
I did when my second year going to my third. There was not a contract dispute. I was like, hey, can I get a little, just, you know, some guarantee that I'm going to be here for, you know, the foreseeable future or whatever. This is coming off on the heels of what's up.
How many years did you have left at that point?
This is on the heels of my second year, my second Pro Bowl. I had 3 years. So yeah, in terms of, it was kind of, we both had leverage. It was like, hey, we can get something done. I don't care to be one of the highest paid. But you know what?
Outperformed that rookie contract.
Yeah. I mean, not many second rounders made the Pro Bowl, right? In their first contract. And so I went back and I was like, yo, I was one of the captains, as a leader on your team, I would just appreciate. And, you know, things get said behind those doors that, you know, I'm going to leave them behind the doors. But you can't be emotional about what's being said. That's tough when you're a 23-year-old, 24-year-old kid. Right? You're still a kid. And they, you know, say some things like, oh, well, you really, you know, you didn't play that well last year. So, okay, well, we made it to the playoffs again, another Pro Bowl. I'm not asking to be the highest paid. Like, I'm just asking to be taken care of. And so when that goes down, it was, I go, you know what? Fine. I go, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make another Pro Bowl. I go, I hope we win the Super Bowl. And, but, you know, there's not going to be a hometown discount this time. You know, I'll see you at this table next year, and it's going to cost you this time.
Right.
So I went and I got the Lloyd's of London, and I had the best year of my career. And just because I had peace of mind that, you know, no matter what happens, you're guaranteed to get
with that insurance.
Yeah. Right. So right. I went out there and played just reckless.
Well, and then you came back and you went back to that table and you said, let's go.
I said, hey.
Yeah. You showed Johnny Manziel.
I tried to do well. It wasn't Holmgren. It was, you know, it was the brass man. It was the front office. But it was like, hey, Manziel. No, I just said, hey, we could do this the hard way. Or we could do this the easy way. And they chose the hard way. So
yeah, all right. Yeah, I like it. Well, I'm just saying that after you came back from that third year, you were like, let's do this thing, and they did, right? And
yeah, like at that point. Their hand was forced. It's 3 years, three Pro Bowls, only 2 years remaining on the contract. But that's why I put the Pro Bowl clause in there, because there was already a couple million owed to me for making the Pro Bowl. And that's, remember when we talked about it, I was like, yeah, I want a Pro Bowl clause. He's like, we don't do that for second rounders. I go, I should have been a first rounder. So put that shit in there.
I love that. Ah, confidence on our guy. I love it. Hey, let's talk about some more transactions though, because Akilah Witherspoon, who came over in the off season, and I was so pumped. He came over from the Niners, and you know, but it just didn't work out for whatever reason. And he got traded to the Steelers this in the last couple of days here. And actually, Pete Carroll's quote is, "It just didn't work out, and another team wanted him, so they ship him off to the Steelers." I mean, what did you make of this move? Kind of a surprise, right?
It was, you know, yes. But I didn't anticipate him to start anyways. So for me, no. But I was surprised. What would we get? Fifth rounder for him?
Yeah, not much value coming back. That's what I mean. So if you're going to.
Well, sorry.
I
mean, Cam Chancellor was a fifth rounder. Richard Sherman was a fifth rounder. Don't tell me.
You thought was going to be a starter. I'm just saying.
You thought, not me.
Whatever.
Anyways, we've had a lot of value in that fifth round. I'll have you know.
All right.
So what I'm saying is that's pretty exciting news to get fifth round back for somebody that was not going to start for us anyways. I didn't think he was going to start.
I love that glass half full about the fifth round. It's funny how the fans view it versus our man Lofa. I don't know, man. I mean, I just was a little surprised. You know, I really thought he was going to be maybe a starting cornerback. And what did you see in the preseason? Do you think they were not happy with his level of play? Or do you really think this was just, there's a lot of cornerbacks, we don't really know what's up in the air, someone's offering something, let's pull the trigger? What do you think happened here?
Yeah, no, I think it's just, we're probably not going to play him anyways. So if someone's going to offer, if it was a sixth or a seventh, we probably do it too. And I think it's a great move. But again, who's starting opposite Reed? Have we figured that out? But all I know from what I saw in the preseason, I just saw a little too much cushion or respect is what we used to call it when a guy is just so far away from his. I'm talking, there was some hitch routes and some 5-7 yard outs. He wasn't even in the frame. And I don't, it's, you know, you're either teaching it or you're tolerating it. So I don't know which it was, but it sounds like if they moved him, it's because they weren't happy with his level of play.
Dude, I don't know who's going to play cornerback for this team other than DJ Reed, honestly. Like, I mean, Sidney Jones, I guess. They just brought him in, but
we didn't
get to see him in the preseason. So I don't know if he's, you know, how up to speed he'll be. Our rookie, he's not going to play. He's injured. He's still coming back from an injury, a foot injury. So it's going to be a while. Pete even said in his press conference it's going to be a while for him. So I'm getting nervous at cornerback. You know, Marquise Blair and Ugo Amadi, they'll lock down the nickel position, but in terms of those two starting wide cornerbacks, I have no idea. Except for Jay Reed, of course.
I think we'll see Sidney get in there. You know, I think that's why they made the move to get him. So yeah, And I mean, he's got to be pumped being back in Seattle, right? Right down the street from his old stomping grounds.
Yeah. Are you concerned about the cornerbacks then?
No, because we got a hellacious pass rush that is just going to – I'm talking scorched earth, my man. They are going to ruin some offenses.
Well, let's talk about our quarterbacks for a second. Why do we have three of them on the roster?
The what?
Our quarterbacks.
Oh, QBs.
Yeah. Why do we have three?
I think because Russell likes a number three, and so he wanted two guys in the room with him. That's, you know, my honest
opinion. Are you being serious? Really? Is that?
No, I'm not being serious. I can't believe
I don't know, man. Dude, I have no idea why there's three quarterbacks on this team. I'll take any answers at this point. Don't we need an extra maybe offensive lineman? I mean, we're getting a little thin at linebacker. There's, of course, one linebacker.
We have like four linebackers, don't we?
Talk about in a second. Why do we have three quarterbacks on this team? Why? Why Jake Luton? Why? Why? Why not just practice squad? Why on the roster? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. And then I think, you know, if we just held on to Manuel, we probably could have got something for him instead of cutting him and someone else. I don't know why, but Manuel was in high demand.
Yeah, I know. And I got nothing but love for the former Marysville Pilchuck High School grad. I love that he's a local guy. But, like, why three quarterbacks? I just don't understand this move at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea either.
When's the last time we had three quarterbacks going into week one?
I mean, maybe my rookie year when we had Hasselbeck, Seneca Wallace, and David Green.
Yeah. Weird.
You bring a good point because with that third, it's not like he's a Taysom Hill. It's not like he's going to go out there and catch some footballs and, you know, throw a double reverse pass or whatever and, like, you know, give the opposing defense something to worry about. So.
He's going to be holding the clipboard and handing Russell Gatorade.
Yeah. We should write into them, ask them why.
If you guys got ideas on why we got three quarterbacks, I want to hear from you. Seahawkspod@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know. The captains have been announced. Russ, Bobby, and Nick Ballore, captains for your team. I mean, no duh, right?
Man, awesome. Congrats to all three of these savages. just three Pro Bowlers, you know, doing what they do, being captain too.
I'm actually just sort of stalling because this next one gets me right in the feels here. Like I just mentioned, you know, linebackers who I wish were here. KJ Wright, officially a Raider. We've been talking about it so much on the podcast that we need to bring some official closure to it now that it's happened. But he's officially a Raider. He's going to join John Gruden and Las Vegas. And I don't know, man. It bums me out. But at the same time, I guess I get it. No, I don't. I don't understand this at all. What the hell happened? Can you peel back the curtain a little bit for the average fan? Like, what happened here?
You know, when you get to a certain age, and this is like when you're over 30, the market – significantly drops even if your play doesn't. And what I was surprised about was KJ's play increased career highs in several categories the last 2 years, didn't miss a start. And I think where a lot of these teams that missed out on a phenomenal human being on top of a great player is they missed out on getting one of those guys that's a building block that sets the way for the future of their franchise. There are so many new head coaches and, you know, I don't want to name them because it upsets me to see a guy get disrespected. That's done so much for not just this city, this community, the Hawks bringing their first title, but also, you know, the NFL as a brand, you know, what he's done for that shield, up for the Walter Payton Award, you know, year in, year out, won the Largent Award just the other year. It's like, it's one of the greatest leaders I've been around. And for a front office, you know, or a team out there that's, you know, a newer head coach, not to say, hey, I know his value, I know his worth, and I know what he's going to do to set up the next 5 years. It's going to make my life easier as a coach because he's going to, you know, take the message and show the young guys, this is how we did it in Seattle, and this is how I expect it to be done here. Mm. So I couldn't believe that it took this long to sign. And I knew it was going to happen as soon as the first week of the regular season, because then since the 2011 CBA collective bargaining agreement, the even a vested that his contract's no longer guaranteed, which is just another way for, you know, the owners to win.
Yeah.
I mean, they're billionaires for a reason. They win at business, but it's just the nasty side of business. But I just, for the life of me, could not fathom why several teams that have not even sniffed the playoffs, you know, in years, would not take a flyer on a proven veteran with all those stats and then all that leader, a decade of bringing Seattle to the top.
Yeah. To me, it kind of makes sense that it's Gruden and the Raiders that he lands at, because I think Gruden is the guy who like totally gets it and respects KJ, yeah, but understands all that veteran type leadership type stuff. I mean, another guy who gets it is Pete Carroll for sure. I mean, he talked about KJ at the press conference here. I'll just read Pete's words. He says, KJ has been an incredible Seahawk and an incredible man in this community as well, just like Lofa just said. Carroll goes on, there aren't enough words to talk about the kind of person that he is, the great competitor that he is, the wonderful contributor he's been in the program for 10 years. We've had a blast together. I love KJ. Through the process, we stayed together and talked through it. And as he made a decision, this was a good choice for him at this time. So he jumped at it. KJ will always be, I don't know how long he plays in Las Vegas, but he will always be a Seahawk. And I mean, of course, is it one of these things where, like, I mean, was he ever going to sign with the Seahawks again? Or was it always just kind of done ever since this preseason kind of started? Like, I know Seahawk fans always talk about that glimmer of hope. Reading that, it kind of feels like it was like, you know, everything's amicable and we're all still going to be friends and everything, but I don't know if they were ever going to re-sign him.
No, I mean, it's like I said, it was probably the point of where it's okay, we're trying to get younger at the position, we're essentially moving on. But yeah, had an injury happen, you know, and not to BBK, he's a backup, you know, so you're not going to bring KJ in to sit. You know, so it would have had to have been a starter going down. And yes, he would have been in that building the next day. But, you know, other places. So like kind of the situation he was in is that, okay, you know, I'm not going to get the money that my stats should have offered. So now it's like, where do I, because there's a couple teams that were still talking to me, even though they didn't bring them in, there's still several teams talking to me, like, hey, how you doing? Like, what are you thinking? You know, what are the numbers at? And they were ready to bring them in, you know, as soon as the new league year started. But with KJ, I know KJ, he just wants to play football.
Yeah.
You know, and anywhere he goes, he's going to make the team better. And I think the Raiders are a pretty solid, you know, landing spot for him, you know, and they've gotten better each year. And so since Gruden's getting there, and so they're close to at least getting to the playoffs and in a tough division, you know, when you got the reigning champs, Kansas City right there. So we'll see, you know, I just can't wait to see him play ball again. And I know that's the kind of the situation you're forced at when you don't have a team to start, you know, for the offseason and everything is, okay, I either stay in shape and wait for an injury. Injuries are going to happen. And that's just the nature of the game, right? I know that. So, you know, at that point, you just got to wait. It's a waiting game, stay in shape, and then, you know, sign with a team down the road that, you know, hopefully it's a team that that's in the hunt and needs a, you know, a linebacker, because he can play Mike, Sam, or Will. And that's what really blew my mind. A guy with three positional value still three positional value, like, to not in the leadership. And it makes me sick. I got to stop talking about it. KJ, I love you, kid. I mean, thank you for everything and keep kicking ass, man. You know, put everybody on notice.
Yeah. See you in the Ring of Honor someday.
Damn right.
Let's move on. So that brings me to my next thing here, Lofa. I don't know if you've heard, but former NBA player Lamar Odom might be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon, and he owes it all to a product called Balance 7. You've heard of it, Lofa. We've been talking about it here on the show. You got to get your alkaline balance. You got to get your pH balance, right?
It's all about homeostasis, brother.
Go to balance7.com. Use our promo code.
Believe, BLEAV.
And get some Balance 7.
You can check out exactly how Balance 7 has helped. And right now, if you go to balance7.com and you use the promo code Believe, like we talked about, you'll get $10 off of their 32-ounce bottle. The bottle lasts 11 days, which is the perfect amount of time to feel the pH balancing drink go to work. Again, that's Balance 7. Use the promo code Believe at checkout. I did, and if it worked for me and Lamar, it can work for you too. All right, Lofa, week one, guest number one of the season, Lawrence Owen from the Believe in Colts podcast right here on the Believe Sports Network. Hold on, let me get an applause for Lawrence. There it is. Joining us right now on the show. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate you having me on.
Of course, man. I mean, you know, the Believe Network, we got to stick together here, right? So welcome to the show, man. Believe in Colts, you guys. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. Leave them a review, subscribe, all that good stuff. You host the show with DaQuell Jackson, baller, right? That's pretty awesome.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, man. I'm really excited about this show. We just started 2 weeks ago, and I feel like, you know, there's nothing like having a former player that you get along with, right? You get that connection with and sit and talk. And he's a great, great person overall. Oh,
phenomenal human being and football player. Me and Brett don't really get along, but, you know, we've got some chemistry there.
Yeah. I mean, dude, absolute stud as a player, right, Lofa? You want to talk about DaQuell's time in the league a little bit?
Oh, man. Ever since coming out, I was in Maryland. I mean, just probably racking up 150 tackles every year. Everywhere he went, he was a leader. Everywhere he went, that defense got better and that team got better because of him. And I think that speaks volumes about a player's game when he takes everybody else to another level.
Well, I'm sure you guys are getting into it over there on Believe in Colts, Lawrence, but I mean, you got to be excited for the season to start, right? If not for any other reason, then we might finally get to see some starters play.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, especially with the fact that, you know, last year was last year, on top of not having, you know, this whole preseason, you know, like what we had this year. So we had to go through this whole preseason thing, unlike what we had last year, to get us all ramped up for this season. And now we're just sitting here waiting for that initial kickoff, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's game week, baby.
I can't wait. I mean, let's get into it, guys. So the Seahawks traveling to Indianapolis for the first game of the season. Seahawks, I think right now favored by 2.5, but mostly due to like injury reports and COVID protocols and all kinds of other things going on out there. But they're, in any case, favored a little bit on the road here. I mean, who wants to jump in first? How are we feeling about week one? Lofa, from a Seahawk perspective, like how are you feeling going into this game?
I mean, unsure really how to feel. I mean,
yeah, you know, I know.
It's so many unknowns, as we've talked about. Just excited to finally see our starters play. We've had some good news with guys coming back to practice that were, I don't know if you want to call them holding out, holding in. It's just exciting that they're going to suit up in practice. And so, you know, as the week unfolds, you know, we'll see a little more about who'll be available and yeah, but it's an exciting time for every franchise. This is where everybody believes, yeah, this is our year. We're going all the way.
Yeah.
And so, and I know Lawrence feels the same way. So, I mean, we can turn it over to him.
Well, I mean, Lawrence, how are Colts fans feeling about this season? Like us as Seahawks fans, we're nervous just because we haven't seen the starters playing in the preseason and stuff. But at least our starters have played for our team before. Carson Wentz, I mean, how are you guys feeling going into this season?
Well, we were optimistic with Carson Wentz starting out because, you know, he had one bad year. And that was with a team that was, like, completely injured from top to bottom. And, you know about, you know, the whole history between him and the front office and all of that stuff. And so we were like, you know, Carson's going to come to Indy. He's going to reunite with Frank Reich. He's got good players around him, all that neat stuff. Should be good. Then foot injury, right? Got to have the surgery. He's out for 3 weeks, you know, which amazing that he's out there full practice this week, you know, last week, you know. So that was just an amazing situation. Him and Quentin Nelson,
and Quentin Nelson.
And then he had the COVID protocol thing happen, close contact. So he's out 5 days, you know, and that. So we're a little nervous for week one.
Yeah.
You know, a little nervous.
Are you more nervous, though, about the Seahawks coming in or just nervous about your own team?
more nervous about our own team. No offense to you guys. It's just, we don't feel like he's had time to build that chemistry with the rest of the team, you know? And yes, I understand he's been able to do walkthroughs and do the mental reps, which are all incredibly important, but getting that timing down with his receivers and getting that handoff thing with the center, you know, stuff like that, that's so important. And it makes us a little bit nervous about that.
Yeah, no, totally.
I got a question, Brett. Then behind him, do you have confidence in the guys, Lawrence, behind him? And one of it's a Husky, right? Eason, has he shown you enough in the preseason to be confident should Wentz not perform?
That's an interesting question. So we're talking about Jacob Eason, who literally only played 2 years in college, right? And both those years were different colleges, you know? And then last year, he was third on the roster chart, you know, behind Rivers, behind Brissett, didn't get any snaps. Mm-hmm. So basically, we got a guy who played 2 years in college, and that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he comes in, Wentz is hurt. He comes in, obviously, during training camp. I was there for like 75% of the training camp. And he obviously started off a little rusty, a little rough. He was still new to the NFL, not up to the NFL speed, you know, the playbook, stuff like that. But as training camp went on, it seemed like he was really starting to catch up and understand the NFL, how things run. And his accuracy got a lot better. His decision-making got a lot better. He still, in my opinion, maybe throws the ball a little too hard to guys that are 5 yards away from him.
Oh yeah, he does.
It's to show off that arm strength, huh?
Oh my goodness, a lot. Oh yeah.
Sometimes you can't tell if he's throwing it or if he teleports the football.
No, he's trying to break fingers out there. I mean, okay, but like, what should Seahawk fans be nervous about then in these Colts?
Oh, well, I believe that the Colts legitimately are incredibly deep at nearly every position on the offense. Outside of left tackle, we'll probably end up getting to that later with Eric Fisher and what's going on in that department. But, I mean, the offensive line, very, very solid across the board. Mm-hmm. We believe that the wide receiving group, even with T.Y. Hilton on IR, is deep, because last year they just didn't have the opportunity to show how good they are, you know, due to injuries and things of that nature. And then we think that our running back group may be the best in the NFL, depth wise, you know, going from Jonathan Taylor, Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, you know, those are three very solid running backs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Lofa, a lot of play action. How do you think this unfolds here? Because they're going to lean on the run game, don't you think? I mean, even if it is Carson Wentz, it's game one, you know, like not a lot of preseason played. So going to run first and then probably try to go over the top after that.
Always run to set up the pass. And if you can get the run game going, it makes things, you know, significantly easier, especially for the quarterback, someone new to not the system, but, you know, to the team. You know, and just like you said, he hasn't had much experience with this group. So definitely. And yeah, they have no shortage of weapons in the backfield. I mean, and all three of those running backs can not only run inside and outside the tackles, but they are a threat to catch the ball too. And so, you know, with any team that's great at running the ball, they're usually pretty good at running screens as well. And I've seen, you know, Mac and all those guys take a screen and go 40 yards, no problem. So yeah, we got our work cut out for ourselves.
Well, and I think, you know, if there's something that Seahawks fans are nervous about, or at least that I'm nervous about it, or as we even go into the season, not just against the Colts, but the overall season, it's the cornerbacks in our secondary a little bit, you know, very soft, especially to start the season last season. Now we're moving pieces all the time, as we're always talking about. But so, you know, I'm not so nervous about like stopping the run initially, but that play action off of the run and the way that we played in the secondary. I mean, I don't, that does have me a little nervous.
Well, yeah. And then you got to think, you know, those numbers were skewed from last year. We were so good at stopping the run because everybody was throwing on us. And you're right, we have not completely addressed every issue in terms of the cornerback position. I think we just got two new guys after roster, you know, the final roster was made. So it's who knows who's going to be out there starting.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth.
How is Quentin Nelson feeling, though? We've touched on him or we mentioned his name a couple times, but let's get into it here. I mean, he's going to play, right, Lawrence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's set to play week one against you guys. And it was more because of the way how the surgery was done. It's more pain tolerance than anything else. Right.
Oh, okay.
They're not worried about any kind of re-injuring it or further something damage. Like that. Yeah. No, it's more about pain tolerance. And apparently both Carson and Quentin Nelson are able to handle that quite well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Middle linebackers, Lofa. I know you want to talk linebackers going into this game.
Do I ever? We got two of the best in the league squaring off. And, you know, this, I wish DeQuell was here for this, because every time I was facing another premier linebacker, you know, it's not like I tried harder, but it was like, oh man, like, just like we always talk about quarterbacks dueling, but like they never hyped up Urlacher and Ray Lewis, like when they faced off. And like, that's like, those are storylines that I think, you know, being a linebacker, I should cover. And Bobby Wagner, Darius Leonard, if you put Leonard's numbers up there, he's borderline Hall of Fame already. If you just go numbers without the tackles, I mean, he's, you know, I think Bobby's got 1200 tackles and Leonard's got probably like 700, but Leonard's only played 4 years. Yeah. And so it's insane with the forced fumbles, tackles for loss, interception, sacks. You know, he was robbed his rookie year, should have been in the Pro Bowl. I think he did make second team All Pro, but insane what this kid's been able to do. And Bobby Wagner, you know my thoughts on him. You know, best to ever suit up for the Hawks, and also first ballot Hall of Famer already in my book. He's just putting icing on the cake now with every year he suits up.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun to watch. Lawrence, why does your guy fly under the radar from like, you know, fan perspective in terms of like the whole NFL? Like, I mean, Colts fans obviously know and love him, but like, just, you know, the name, it just, he flies under the radar a little bit. Why?
That's, you got me. I have no idea. Yeah. As a Colts fan, like you said, obviously I know and love Darius Leonard. I think he's great. A lot of people seem to think that because he's undersized, that he's only 220, right? Yeah. And they think that he's not that good overall. You know, that sure, he could do some things good or other things good, but he's, you know, suffers in other areas. And I don't see it. I don't see it at all. He's a guy who uses his arms, his arm length. Yeah, in order to keep separation from blocks and get and shed those blocks to get to tackles. He wraps well. He goes after the ball well. He uses that arm length and pass coverage, especially when he's sitting in zone to read, react, get out, swat balls, things of that nature. I think Darius is great, but, you know, you go talk to San Francisco fans. You go talk, you know, because of that linebacker there. Mm-hmm. You go talk to Bears fans because of the linebacker there. And they're all, you know, saying, well, Darius might be top five, but our guy's number one. And I still have to stop and go, whoa, 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 dude. First off, you got the guy who's been number one for the last 5-6 years in Wagner, you know, so you got to step up there too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think maybe it's just, I don't think he gets the media exposure. I don't think as much as many primetime games. You know, the Hawks, we're must-see TV out here lately in the last decade. And so we get about five or six primetime games. And I mean, that, you know, that goes a long way in terms of people, you know, becoming a household name. But I can't wait to just really watch a full game of Leonard and Wagner. And it's going to be incredible.
Hell yeah.
You make a good point about that whole primetime game thing. The Colts have not hosted a primetime game in 4 years.
Wow.
There you have it.
Let's get to the score predictions for this game, even though we don't know much about these two teams and haven't seen much in the preseason. Let's just take some wild flyers and let the people know how we think this thing's going to shake out. Who's brave enough to jump in first? What, you guys want me to go first? Or?
Start it off.
All right. Honestly, I have no idea what's going to happen here. Like, we have a brand new offensive coordinator. Our starter has only taken reps in practice so far. He's Russell Wilson, though, right? So
Dude, I don't know. I'm going to say, I mean, I got to rep the Seahawks here. So the Seahawks are going to win, but I think this thing is going to be pretty sloppy offensively. I just do. So I think this is going to be one of those weird Seahawks week one games. We all know how week one goes for the Seahawks most of the time. I think this is one of those weird games. Final score, Seahawks 12, Colts 8.
You love the weird scores.
Wow.
He loves the baseball, you know, extra innings type score.
Oh, my goodness.
Two missed extra points for the Seahawks and for some reason a two-point conversion.
And, yeah, and what, you probably got the calls for four safeties? What do you what's that eight coming from?
No, I think it's a two-point conversion for no reason. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to say, yeah, okay, you might have the mishaps, maybe a couple turnovers each side, but I'm going to say I think this is a generally lower scoring game, not as low as Brett's, but I'm going to go 21-17, and I got to go with my Hawks. Sorry, right. Lawrence.
Lawrence, come on now. You going to back the Colts?
Well, yeah.
as if there was any doubt with the background there. I mean, look at this guy.
Well, I mean, I back the Colts no matter what, but it doesn't mean that, you know, I think they're going to win every game. I do believe they have a good shot at winning this game, though, mainly because there are a few things that do scare me. Your wide receiving core is very, very solid with Lockett and Metcalf, and then of course Russell Wilson with his ability to extend the play so he could throw the football. Mm-hmm. And against our zone defense, that's a scary situation. I'm honestly thinking that this could be a higher scoring game. I would take the over in this game. I think we're looking at more of a 31-28 type game. I think it'll come down to whoever wins the turnover battle in this game.
Absolutely.
That's what I've got.
Sign me up for that right now. Cause I mean, the last 5 years of Seahawks games, seriously, it's 9-6.
Oh, to start.
Yeah. So anything with a lot of scoring and some entertainment, I would be down for. Lawrence, thanks so much for jumping on the pod, man. You guys can find Believe in Colts, like I said, any podcast network out there, give them a subscribe and all that stuff. Follow Lawrence on social media @Colts_law. He's also on Instagram, his full name, Lawrence Owen. Also, DaQuell Jackson on social media @DaQuell Jackson. Thanks, man. Thanks for being a part of it.
Appreciate you having me. Can't wait to see the game this Sunday, and hopefully we get to do this again sometime soon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, right on. Thanks, Lawrence.
Zone in, Lofa. Let's zone in, okay? Zone in CBD is the best CBD in the game. And we zone in because it's Lofa's company and because it's a great product. ZoneInCBD.com, everybody. Sign up for your subscription today. Use our promo code
Believe, BLEAV,
for 20% off of your purchase at ZoneInCBD.com. You can also pick it up in person at any Bartell drugstores up there in the PNW. Lofa, I wrote on the rundown that we were going to talk about our fantasy teams, but then I texted you about it and you said, oh, I'm an actor now. I'll roll with whatever you got. So I'm going to flip the script on you and surprise you and test these acting abilities. Lofa, we're looking at week one. It's a brand new NFL season. Let's make some year-long predictions.
Year-long.
And we can look back on later. I'll write them down.
It's so long. I'm pulling up my team, by the way.
Season predictions. MVPs, Rookie of the Year, Super Bowl, Seahawks overall record, things like that. Where do you want to start? You want to start with MVPs, rookies, Super Bowl predictions? You want to start at the top?
Oh, you start it, man.
All right.
I love my team, by the way. I just saw them.
Love them. You're checking out your team?
Yep. I love them.
Lofa autographs sure every year, so yeah.
Yeah.
Never see the team till, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Aaron Jones, what? Kelsey, Waller, let's go.
Oh, who do you think's going to be your MVP?
I mean, Aaron Jones for sure. That guy.
Like Loaf at the Tupus. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, let's start with the offensive MVP for the league. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, our guy Russell Wilson, of course.
Yeah, I think because of the ridiculous amount of disrespect, because MVP is different from they still have the offense and defensive player of the year too, right?
Right.
And then they have the MVP, right? Yeah. So yeah. I think this is the year that Russ at least gets the respect and gets offensive and player of the year.
Player of the year. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is that year.
Dude, I like that. I mean, I would love to sign off on that as an absolute homer. However, I have not seen Russell Wilson play in this new offense, not one time. My eyes have never seen it. I mean,
you got a good
other
point
than
there.
Like video on Seahawks.com of practice, which you can't tell anything from that. And it's not even the overhead shot or anything. So I hope that happens, but I have no idea.
Who are you going with then?
I mean, dude, it's hard to go away from Mahomes, of course, in Kansas City, just because the guy is like a human, you know, video game.
We'll see. For me, him and like Rodgers, they're already launched into that MVP.
Right. Category. Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, That's
like,
a good point.
They don't even get consideration for offensive player of the year. Because it's like, right, it's like a participation award these days. Like, oh, well, if he's the MVP, he can't be the offensive player. It's like, well, he's the MVP and he was an offensive player. He also should have won offensive player of the year.
How about this for you? I'll remain a homer, but I'll give you maybe, you know, a guy who's got an outside shot or maybe someone that no one's talking about. What about DK Metcalf, man? Why not? Yeah. Why not? Third season? Guy's a beast. He's ready. Like the fans are back. He's going to be so pumped. Got this new offense here. Maybe more yards after the catch. Why not?
We're talking offensive player of the year.
Yeah, why not?
I think he could. Did Julio ever win it when he was? I mean, he was on top for like 6 or 7 years balling. Yeah. I don't know if they ever gave it to him. So that's the only hesitation I have there. I think Calvin might have got it when he almost had 2,000 yards. I mean, he really should have been the MVP talk, not just the. I think that's the only receiver I can really remember probably getting that.
It'll be McCaffrey too, though. Don't forget. I mean, that guy gets the ball in like every play.
There we go. Now you know what?
Every time.
Completely forgot, you know, because he had a tough injury riddled year last year. But I mean, there was at one point in the previous year or two where he was like 85% of the offense.
Yeah. Oh, I know. If that's my non-homer pick, I'll put it that way.
You know, that's a solid pick. And not Metcalf's a good pick. I just, the sheer volume that you need for a receiver to get that. It's just tough. And that's why, like, even like Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all the receivers that they have over there, they take away from each other. And then all it does is build up Mahomes. Cause you know, it's like, well, 400 yards is 400 yards. But when you have to split it up amongst those guys, it's just tough. So
how about defensively? Who's taking home the POY defensively?
Yeah, it's tough. Cause Aaron Donald has shown no signs of slowing down.
That was my pick. Dang.
It's I mean, it's so much that he's also in the talk of MVP, most valuable player. So I mean, obviously it's the easy one to pick, but you know, I love linebackers and not just the ones that rush, not the fake linebackers. All right, you know, I've always had a problem. These guys that rush 90%.
What's a fake linebacker? You're talking about pass rushing specialists? Yeah.
These outside 3-4 linebackers that don't ever drop into coverage, all they do is get sacks. It's like, I'm sorry, but you're not a real linebacker. So it's easy to go with, you know, the TJ Watt and all those guys that come off the ball 90% of the time. But I'm going to say, I hope this is the year my boy Bobby gets recognition, you know? But it's just tough because Bobby – Leonard Warner is getting a lot of credit because he's doing some good things. He's got a phenomenal D line over there. I think I could probably play behind that D line right now. And then Devin White came out of nowhere last year and just blazed the scene, man. So I'm taking my man who's been doing it the longest, Bee Weezy. Wags is my pick.
I love that. I was going to mention Aaron Donald for sure, because how can you not? The guy benches 500 pounds and just wins player of the year every year. But yeah, I mean, Bobby, dude, absolutely. This should be the year if he does what he does every year. I mean, he's been in the league for so many years. He's a veteran. Like, give it to him already. I think that's a good pick. You know what? What about I'll stay a homer. What about our guy Jamal?
I was just gonna say the only
brand new contract. Bobby, he wants like 30. He wants to have like what did we say a couple episodes ago? He wants 23 sacks this year or something like that.
He said 15 and like 5. He wanted like 15 sacks and 5 interceptions. And
yeah, he's coming for it, dude. He's got lofty goals.
I believe it. And like I said, if Bobby doesn't win it, it's because Jamal probably won it. And I mean that's how. I mean, it's incredible what Jamal does game in and game out. He just looks like he's moving at a different speed. I've said it a couple times. If you watch that defense and you just see a blur, you don't see the number, that was Jamal.
Yeah, you can bet on that. Rookie of the years?
I know it was just preseason, but, you know, I had on defense Zaven Collins, the kid from Tulsa. That's down at Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
He looks solid, you know. It's still early, but it wasn't – I was expecting a lot more, like, right away. 6'4", 260, can fly, and, like, he's got a lot of great pieces around him. So I'm not going to give up on him just yet, but it was just it wasn't as clean as I expected. Even had a little trouble in the cover too, you know, that deep middle post that you got to run as a middle linebacker. It's tough duties, but at that size and speed, he should have no problem doing it. So we'll see. I'm going to stick with him. Offensively. I didn't see as much of Najee Harris as I wanted to.
He's going to be a beast for the Steelers. I think he's going to have a great
season. I think he is, but I didn't see too much about it, you know, so I might be shifting that one. I don't know. Who are you going with?
Offensively, I'm going to do Justin Fields. I think it's Justin Fields. I know he's
the starter right now.
Dude, he's going to be the starter by week 3. Write it down. It's going to happen. Yes, it's the Russell Wilson factor. He's so much more exciting to watch than Andy Dalton will ever be. He looked great in some of those preseason games. I think that they're being weak in Chicago by not just naming him the starter already, honestly. It's so weak, man. We had Matt Flynn. We named Russ the starter. Why? Because he's entertaining as hell, and he gave our team a better chance to win, and you could see that. And the players were excited about it, and the rest is history with Russell Wilson. I think Chicago is making a mistake by not just giving it to him.
That's a good point. But you know what? I'm shifting my pick. Even though I love Najee, he's going to have a great year. He'll probably get 1,500 yards. You know, 10 touchdowns, make a Pro Bowl, and they still won't vote him as the rookie of the year. You know why? Because they love quarterbacks. The media loves quarterbacks. So, you know, you're right. You're great call with Fields. I'm going Mac Jones.
This is the story of the NFL right now. Mac Jones, the Mac Jones era has begun.
And I mean, you know, Zach Wilson probably looks the most complete quarterback out of all of them, you know. And you still got Trey Lance out there. Who knows what they're going to do? If he didn't hurt his finger, he probably starts.
Well, and don't forget Trevor Lawrence, the blonde wonder down there.
Oh, Jackson. Yeah. Sunshine.
I mean, Mac Jones, I almost went with that just because of the Patriots and Belichick and the whole system that he's going to be in and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, man.
Well, he's going to have a solid running game because, you know, Bill always – runs the ball, and those running backs that they had, they look good enough for them to ship what's his name, Sonny Michel, out to the Rams.
Yeah, they
so and then
back in they sent Michel over here.
Yeah. He brought in those two tight ends, Henry and Johnny Smith. I think Aguilar's there, right? And Kendrick Bourne, and then they still have Jacoby Myers from last year, who was really turning some heads. So they have weapons. And I think he's brought in a lot of pieces on that defense to make life easier. A defense and a run game is a young quarterback's best friend.
Who plays in and who wins the Super Bowl?
Who plays in and wins the Super Bowl? It's hard not to choose our team.
I know.
I got us winning the division. So, I mean, I don't want to jinx myself.
It might be the hardest division in football.
Us or the AFC North, I think. But I got us one of the division. You go with this one first. I'm trying to think of who we're going to.
I don't know. I don't know if I can be a homer on this one. I would love to say it's the Seahawks, but I'm just nervous about the offense, and I don't know what we have in terms of, because we just haven't seen them play at all. So if you, you know, if you were forcing me to pick the Super Bowl here today as I sit here, I mean, dude, hard to go away from the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, but that would be 3 years in a row for them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think, as much as I don't like this team, the Steelers from the AFC?
No way. No way, bro. I'm going to go with...
Super good defense. Ben is always solid. You know, Najee Harris, exciting young rookie.
Nah.
Mike Tomlin, hell of a coach.
I bet they finish third in their division.
Okay. Whoa, in their division?
Yeah.
I'm writing that one down. Steelers.
I got the Browns winning it all with the Ravens at two, and then the Bengals picking very early in the first round next year again, as always.
All right. Fine. I mean, do you want to put the Browns in the Super Bowl then?
Well, so, hey, it's for me.
Go ahead. You do it.
Okay. It's between the Browns and the Bills, and and I'm going Browns as my surprise pick to make the Super Bowl.
Lofa Tatubu has the Browns in the Super Bowl. Somebody cut it out. Put it on the internet.
Wait, just relax. So, I mean.
Maybe he doesn't.
They were 4th-and-1 from beating the defending champs, you know, on their field, right? Yeah,
that's right.
The Bills got embarrassed. You know, I'm not buying the hype. You know, I'm not buying the hype from the Bills. I'm going Browns.
Oh, so he is going Browns. Okay.
I'm going Browns.
All right.
I'm going Browns versus the Bucks.
Wow. Browns and Bucks.
The Bucks return all starters. I think they finally got all the guys around Tom. They got a taste of what championship feels like. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, minds are set towards, okay, this is what we do. And like now when they come out with that kind of confidence, because I've been there, right? Well, me and Pete, back in the glory days at SC, you know, early 2000s, when we were just like, oh, we're just going to go out here and just beat the shit out of everybody. This is what we do. And, you know, so I think they're going to be a scary team to watch this year. I don't think the Super Bowl went to their head. I think it just made them more hungry because Tom, he's running out of time. Let's get serious.
They're recruiting all 22 starters.
All 22. And they just – and if you thought their pass rush was good last year, they just picked up your boy Tryon from UW.
Yeah,
who like everybody's been raving about over there. I'm going Bucks versus the Browns.
All right.
Hopefully we beat the Bucks in the NFC Championship. That's what I really think is going to happen. But I
want us to be in the game. Don't forget everybody. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't work out when we pick our team, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know what? It could be Aaron Rodgers versus Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, I'm just going to take two completely different teams just for fun here. I'm going to say the Bucks lose in the NFC Championship to A-Rod, even with the turbulent offseason and stuff like that. Because, I mean, they got a squad over there. And I'm hoping that it's our Seahawks, but, hey, there you go. What are the Seahawks?
Steelers aren't even making the playoffs. Write that shit down.
Our team, you have them winning the division, but what's their record? And then we're getting out of here because we've gone long. What's the overall record this year for our Hawks?
It's either 11-6 or 12-5. We're getting double digits. Everyone knows that. So
weird with that extra game now.
Yeah.
By the way, my brain is not used to that yet.
Yeah. I'm going 12-5.
12-5? Okay. I don't know, man. New offense. I think the beginning of the season is going to be a lot more stressful on Seahawks fans than we realize. Seahawks Twitter is going to be insane the first 3 weeks of this season. I hope not, but we start slow every year. Yeah, I'm going to go 11-6.
But we're playing what, the AFC South? So, I mean, Tennessee, probably the only loss there.
I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough. But write me down for 11-6, and I'll hope that I'm wrong. That's a wrap on this episode, everybody. We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. SeahawksPod@gmail.com is the email address. You can hit us up on there anytime. Also, follow us on any social media at Believe in Seahawks. Support our sponsors, Balance 7, BetOnline.ag, and ZoneInCBD.com. Lofa, we'll talk during the game, I guess.
Yeah, we will. What are we breaking it down to?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know, man.
Beat the Colts? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with that.
All right, everybody. Good practice. Just make sure to bring it on Sunday. Play like you practice and beat the Colts on three. Beat the Colts on me. One, two, three.
Beat the Colts.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.